Politicians in the boardroom, can they add value or are they a nuisance? Around the world, governments are struggling to address the immediate and long-term impacts of the pandemic. Governments are supporting key industries at an unprecedented level. Questions emerge about the role government representatives and politicians should play in lieu of the funds the organizations receive. We thought it's a good time to contribute to the dialogue with a conversation about politicians in the boardroom. Welcome to the Better Boards podcast series. In this episode, I'm delighted to talk with Carwyn Jones, the former First Minister of Wales. I'm Dr. Sabine Demkowski, founder and managing partner of Better Boards. We make the boards of the most ambitious organizations more effective. Our mission at Better Boards is to contribute to creating better boards. We do this by providing clients with an evidence-based approach to board evaluations and board development programs. To fulfill our mission, we give a voice who only care about creating better boards. And what you hear is the opinion of our podcast partners. It is not the opinion of Better Boards. Thank you so much, Carwyn, for contributing to the Better Boards podcast series.
That's my pleasure. Thank you for having me on.
You had quite an interesting couple of weeks. I followed it in the press. Coming to our topic, politicians in the boardroom. In most countries, there is a cooling off period between a public role and the board appointment. You just felt the heat and were criticized for apparently not adhering to the rules.
Well, the rules are that you have to seek permission to take on a boardroom appointment within 2 years of leaving government. On this occasion, I was given permission. They claimed it was for a different position. It's exactly the same position. So I'm involved in an argument with them, should we say. But it's quite right to say that it's important that there is a cooling off period. Nothing looks worse than a politician going from government into the private sector in the course of, say, a month or two. I mean, that doesn't look right, does it? So it's right that there's some kind of cooling off period. That's true.
This whole topic becomes now much more prominent once again as governments are forced to step in to bail out certain organizations, safe employment, safe jobs. What, in your view, can politicians bring to the table?
Well, I think there are two things. First of all, politicians are well used to thinking several steps ahead in terms of how something might appear to the public. And what I found, because people in the world of business are not used to that level of scrutiny, sometimes they can find themselves in a difficult situation because of the way something's been communicated. Mm-hmm. So politicians are able to bring that expertise to the table of saying, well, hang on a second, if you say this, this is the way it'll be perceived. It'd be better to say it this way. Don't do this because that's appearance. In politics, you have to be very, very careful what something looks like. Now, how will it appear to the public? You know, the level of scrutiny is far, far higher. The other thing I think politicians can bring to a boardroom, especially if they've been in government, is an understanding of how government works. Mm. I've been surprised since leaving government at how little businesses, some of them quite big, understand about the way government actually works, the decision-making process in government. Inevitably, they'll say, governments are slow. They take too much time to take decisions. And I say to them, well, look, now, when I was First Minister of Wales, in the course of my 9 years, every week I was on my feet answering questions. I did that 320 times. I said, I want you to imagine being the CEO of a business where there's a shareholders meeting every week that's televised live on television, and each one of the shareholders is a full-time shareholder with their own staff. And that gives you some idea of the level of scrutiny that you become used to in politics. So I try to explain this to, I've worked with a lot of businesses to say, you have to understand that any government minister has to be able to stand up and defend the decision that they've taken. Sometimes governments will support a business and it doesn't work out. And the same way as a bank will, you know, you can't have a 100% success rate, but you have to be able to show due diligence. You have to be able to show that you have taken reasonable steps to ensure that what you are doing is defensible. And in government, it's far, far more public than in business.
Absolutely. And yet executives argue that politicians lack the executive experience, the industry experience, that they never had P&L responsibilities. What is your response to this?
Well, people have different skills. I mean, some people, of course, have business expertise before they came into government, and they use that expertise while they're in government. I'm a very big believer in people coming into politics having done something else first. You know, I was a lawyer. I brought that experience with me into politics. I don't like it when people just do politics. They do a politics degree, they go and work for a political party or for a politician, and then they stand for election. I don't think that prepares you well for the task of representing people and for the task of scrutiny. And a lot of those skills, I think, are transferable. As First Minister, I was, in a way, an executive chair. That's the closest you get in the business world. I had a chief executive, permanent secretary, as they're called in our system. So I was well used to being a hands-on director, if you like, in that sense. The cabinet was the board. So it's not completely unusual in terms of the way somebody from the business world would see it. You know, there is an equivalent of a COO. There's an equivalent of a CEO. There's an equivalent of a CFO. There's an executive chair. All these things have their equivalent in government.
Because you were the first minister of Wales, is there a difference between a smaller country and a larger country? Are you actually closer to how an organization works as the first minister of a smaller country than of a huge country?
Yes, is the answer. You are inevitably in a country of 3 million. You have a closer relationship with your civil servants. You know, you see them much more often than you would than London ministers do. So inevitably, you keep a closer eye, really, on what's going on in some ways. The organization isn't so big that it's very difficult to understand what's going on within it. And that certainly is an advantage. And the other advantage is it is easier to take a decision, not in terms of skipping important stages, but in terms of being able to get a decision done properly, but more swiftly. And that's one of the advantages of being small. You can be more nimble without being less diligent in the way you take your decisions.
How do organizations need to configure a board to maximize the value that politically connected director can provide?
Well, the non-execs, of course, that you have to have some non-execs who are of a business background. Some, of course, will have a finance background. But it's hugely important, I think, for a larger business to have non-execs from outside the immediate world of business who can bring a perspective, a fresh perspective, a sense of critical challenge as a critical friend that they can bring to the board. And also to bring to the board the experience of how a particular business is perceived from outside. You know, we all live in our own bubbles. There's a political bubble, there's a business bubble. And sometimes it's hugely important to have somebody coming from outside to give a fresh perspective. I think it freshens up the way a business operates. It gives that new perspective. Businesses don't get stale. It's important, of course, to bring the right people on board. Mm-hmm. But my view has always been, I'm a great believer in people from business coming into government, bringing their experience, but also learning how government works. In the same way, I was always supportive of our civil servants being seconded to the world of business because I don't believe there should be this rigid boundary between the two. And I think the same applies for politicians and for business people. It's important that each person spends time in the other's world, if you like, in order to get an understanding, to bring their own expertise, but of course to learn as well.
If some of our listeners are now thinking, there are actually various topics where we could do with a politician on our board, what do they really have to do to get the best out of a politician, a former government representative?
Well, they must pick very wisely. they've got to be very careful as to the reputation of the person they're taking on board. That's hugely important. Secondly, to look at the skills that person has. Many politicians are very good speakers, but it doesn't mean that they've got much beyond that. So how has that person been able to scrutinise if they weren't in before they were in government? How has that person exercised diligence whilst in government? How open has that person been whilst in government? Somebody with a good reputation from politics can add to the reputation of a business. So choose wisely is the first thing. Secondly, politicians, if you're in government, you're used to learning quickly. Now, I'd be the last person to say that you can make a seamless transition from government to business and know everything when you arrive in business. Mm-hmm. Clearly, you don't. You have to learn as you go along. But I was well used to learning very, very quickly and picking things up very, very quickly. That was the nature of the job. And in doing that, you are then able to acquire a grasp of how a business works very, very quickly. Once you've done that, it makes you more effective coming from outside in terms of being able to bring that outside perspective. But you need to understand the business first. There's no point being a non-exec, for example, or acting as an advocate, not in the legal sense, but as an advocate for a business, if you don't really understand how the business works. So there's a duty on a business to explain everything in terms of the way a business works, a duty on the person coming in to understand that, in order for them to be able to utilize their expertise for the benefit of the business as quickly and as effectively as possible.
You know, our topic, we do board evaluations, evidence-based board evaluation. What do you think, what role can board evaluations play in the process to ensure, you know, that a politician is really embedded in a boardroom and is enabled to add value?
An evaluation of any kind is welcome. I think it's hugely important to have an outside evaluation if you're a business in terms of how your board operates. And it's not simply a question, of course, of, you know, how talented or how much contribution do various individuals make. It's how the board works as a team. There's nothing worse than having somebody on any board, or if you look at a cabinet, for example, in politics, somebody who is talented and able, but is utterly unable to work with others, or is unable to work to consensus, somebody who wants to impose their own view no matter what and is unable to compromise with others to come to a consensus that everybody agrees with. So it's not, again, in bringing somebody in from outside, it's massively important that the person doesn't have a reputation as being somebody who tries to railroad everything through. It's, you know, it's my way or the highway, but it's somebody who has a strong view, but is able to work with others so that the team functions effectively. Same in the world of sport. You can have a team of very talented individuals, but if they don't get on and they can't play with each other, they're not an effective team. So it is in sport as it is in business.
So listeners who have come this far in our podcast, what should they take really away? What are the three things you would like them to keep in mind after they have listened to this podcast?
Well, if you're looking to bring somebody in from the world of government, firstly, as I said, choose well, make sure you've got the right person with the right mix of skills. Secondly, those who've worked in politics are used to operating in the public eye, and they have a very strong sense of how something might be perceived further on down the line. You know, that's something that's embedded in people in politics. And thirdly, people who've been in government can bring with them an understanding of how government works for the benefit of business. You know, quite often businesses can be a little bit confused as to the best way of getting their case across to government, or they can get frustrated because the decision-making process isn't as swift as they would want. Having somebody on the board who understands how these things work and who the best person to talk to might be in order to move things forward, that's massively important as well. What you don't want, however, is somebody who acts as a lobbyist. Because what will put government ministers off is somebody who was a former minister basically coming to them and lobbying them, saying, this is what you should be doing, or giving interviews in the media, demanding the government ministers should do things. That's not the way to do it. So hugely important that you have somebody who is persuasive, who is an advocate for the business, who brings a level of trust with them that can be added to the business, but isn't somebody who isn't going to annoy ministers.
Fantastic. So how would you answer the question? Can politicians add value, or are they a nuisance in the boardroom?
I think the right type of politician can add value. I think it's a politician who has experience of working with business whilst in government, that's important. Somebody who understands the world of business, that's important. Somebody who brings credibility with them, but can be added to the overall credibility of the board, that's important as well. And somebody who's a team player. Somebody who will bring strengths to a board that will strengthen the board and not disrupt the board. That's what to look for. But with any board, it's always useful with the core of people who are the execs, the core of people who are non-execs who have hands-on business experience. You also need people from outside that world who understand it, but haven't been part of it, but can bring a breath of fresh air, perhaps, to the way a business operates.
Fantastic, Kevin. Thank you ever so much. How can we help you and your board to become more effective? We at Better Boards are always delighted to hear from you. If you would like to hear about our research, if you would like to hear about our approach to board evaluations and board development, get in touch. You can best reach us on info@better-boards.com. Thank you for listening.